From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast. Today, we're bringing you some expert insight into the top news story of the week. If you've been having fun speculating about who Vice President Kamala Harris, the presumptive Democratic presidential candidate, might pick as her running mate, the party is over. On Tuesday morning, the pick was announced, and it may have come as a surprise to some, especially those who were betting on Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. Harris selected Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who right now is maybe most well-known for calling Republicans weird in an interview that went viral. Listeners will be able to learn more about Walz and his background in an On Deadline episode coming out tomorrow. But today we're going to dive into what this pick means for the 2024 race with KCBS Radio senior political reporter Doug Sovereign. Here's our chat.
We've kind of had a day to let things settle. Were you surprised that she picked Walz instead of Shapiro or Kelly or Pritzker?
Moderately surprised, just because Shapiro had been the obvious frontrunner for a long time, but Walz was one of those guys who was just rising up the charts with a bullet and was more and more popular the more everyone got to see him. You know, he's this winning personality and this Midwest nice dad kind of vibe that everybody seems to like. So I wasn't ultimately that surprised because I knew it was probably coming down to a governor and it was probably going to be Walz or Shapiro. So no, in the end, I actually thought the smart, pragmatic choice and the safer choice was either Walz or Kelly as opposed to Shapiro. And Kamala Harris always tends to make the pragmatic, smart, safe choice. So I had a feeling that's the direction she would go.
Would you be able to go in a little bit to why it's the pragmatic choice, why it's the smart choice?
Sure. So I think that Josh Shapiro brings a lot. Obviously, he's a wonderful orator. He's, you know, channeled Barack Obama in the way he speaks. But you know, he's more moderate on a lot of key issues, and labor, organized labor, is not that into him. He supports school choice vouchers in Pennsylvania. Labor, over the last few days before her decision, really weighed in heavily on supporting one of the other governors, Walz or Beshear, as opposed to Shapiro. His stance on Israel, obviously, is more staunchly pro-Israel, and that rubbed some in his party the wrong way, the progressive wing. So I just think he had more potential negatives. The other thing is, he's clearly very ambitious. He's a guy who people have been talking about, a rising star who will likely run for president someday. Nobody had ever heard of Tim Walz a few weeks ago. He's not a guy who's likely to run for president someday, although if he becomes vice president, perhaps that is in the cards down the road. But I think all of those factors, there were some negatives with Shapiro, potential negatives, that made him less appealing, I think, to Kamala Harris. Whereas Tim Walz, yes, he has been extremely progressive as a governor. We've seen how the Republicans are attacking him as, you know, a California liberal, radical, crazy Kamala clone. But that's not been his record in the House, where he was for 12 years. He connects with rural voters. He wins in districts that Republicans normally win. So I think they just felt, on balance, he had a better shot of helping her in the upper Midwest that she needs to win than Shapiro did. And the pragmatic part is, picking Shapiro might temper some of the enthusiasm and momentum she has among young voters and progressives, which could hurt her in those very states. And why do that? Why take the chance that he might, you know, alienate some within the party who she needs, as she's got the base obviously energized and galvanized? Why mute that when he's not going to do that? I mean, there was nothing Tim Walz was going to bring was going to hurt her within her own party. And the Republicans are going to attack her as a crazy liberal anyway. So it doesn't really matter who she picks as far as that goes. So I just think, on balance, Walz brought more positives and fewer negatives, and that made him the safer, more pragmatic choice.
I also wanted to ask, he's a little bit older. You mentioned he has this Midwestern dad vibe, but he's also pretty savvy when it comes to social media. The way I know him is because he had this interview where he called conservatives weird, and young people seem to enjoy that. Can you speak to a little bit about how he's reaching younger voters and is kind of media savvy in a way some of the other potential VP picks weren't?
Yeah, you know, for one thing, he's the same age as Kamala Harris. He's like 6 months older than she is. He just looks older. He's like an older, gray-haired, balding man. But, you know, he's younger than Brad Pitt, just for visual comparison. But he does seem, he looks a little older. But yeah, he's got this funny, direct style. I think part of it, you know, he was a high school teacher and a high school football coach, so he's used to working with kids. and knows how to connect with them. Obviously, he, you know, won a state championship as a football coach, and I am a youth soccer and baseball coach. You cannot be successful if you can't speak to kids where they are, meet them where they are, which clearly he can do. But yeah, he has a knack for just being folksy and direct, and stuff goes viral. I think kind of the way, I mean, it always struck me as so funny that Bernie Sanders was so resonant with youngest voters when the guy is, you know, nearing 80 at this point. I mean, he was like an old cranky guy in his 70s, and the young voters loved him. Why? I mean, you don't necessarily have to be their age to connect that way. So he does get that. He is media savvy. He's easy with the media. He's social media savvy. And the Democrats, I don't know if not everybody knows this, but at the DNC in Chicago, the Democrats are going to have a whole wing, a whole area of content creators they're bringing in, like TikTok people and Snapchat and Instagram and everything, you know, and they're going to try to create viral moments. And he's their dream. I mean, you're going to have Kamala dances and who knows what else, but it's going to be an element that wasn't present at the Republican convention. So he speaks to that perfectly. Now, Josh Shapiro, I bet, is pretty good at this stuff too, but there's no question that Tim Walz has struck a chord with that element of the electorate. And you have to expect that's going to continue.
We also mentioned this when we were talking about Kamala becoming the top of the ticket pick, but Trump loves to go after his opponents in a very specific way. It's a bit different. It's very direct and aggressive. Do you think he's going to have a difficult time doing that with Walz, or is it just going to be the way he is with everybody?
He can't resist. He can't help himself. You know, call him, I don't know, Sleepy Tim. Who knows what I'll call him. But at the moment, they're calling him Tampon Tim, which is really ridiculous because Walz signed a bill to make sure that there would be tampons and feminine hygiene products in high school bathrooms. I mean, to attack someone over that seems ridiculous, but they're putting out these memes, Tampon Tim. I'm sure that if that's the best they can do, they're in big trouble. But yeah, I mean, so far they're trying to tar him with the same brush as Kamala. He's a California-style liberal. He's doubling down on the radical liberalism. That's what they're going with. I don't know if any of that'll stick. His base is going to see anyone on the Democratic ticket as a crazy liberal. I've had people tweeting at me saying, you know, listing things that Tim Walz supported, saying, look how radical he is. And they're mostly things that the vast majority of Americans support: paid family leave, free school lunches. I mean, these are not things, you know, abortion rights. These are not things that are extreme out of the mainstream. These are things that 70% of Americans favor or more. So I think they're having a little bit of trouble. They're trying to define him as quickly as they can. It may be too late because he's already defining them as weird, and that's catching on. And their defense seems to be, we're not weird, you're weird. It's like a high school, junior high insult swap. It's just, I don't know. They've been flailing a bit the last couple of weeks, and you're seeing that in the polls. And now you're going to get the DNC, which will get a lot of attention, obviously. So it'll probably help them maintain the balance. We'll see how Kamala Harris does on the stump this week. She's probably going to give the same speech 7 times in 7 different locations as she rolls them out. That might start to wear thin. At some point, she does have to have a news conference and answer questions and do interviews. She's done none of that. Vance is doing it. Trump is doing it. We'll see if Walz does it, but she's got to start doing that. It'll tarnish her image a little bit. So we'll see. But I do think that you can expect that kind of attack from Donald Trump throughout this campaign because he just can't help himself.
You were mentioning that Harris eventually does have to go and do her own news conference. And I've read a bunch of times that the VP pick doesn't really have that much to do with the performance of a candidate. It's on everybody's minds this week because it was just announced. But do you think it really will sway voters in one direction or another in this election?
Yeah, the running mate does not tend to have much impact. I mean, you can go back and look. Very, very, very few people, I mean, less than 1%, make their decision based on who the running mate is. It can hurt you. It doesn't really help you much. I mean, I went back and looked because there was some criticism of Harris for not picking someone from a swing state, which Minnesota is not, but it's tighter than it used to be. It's blue, but not solid blue. Kind of like Wisconsin, but Wisconsin's a little closer. But look, no one who has picked a swing state running mate has won the election since at least John F. Kennedy in 1960. So it doesn't help you. I mean, everyone's like, how could she not pick someone from Pennsylvania? I mean, they did a lot of their own research and polling that showed Shapiro wouldn't move the needle that much in Pennsylvania, maybe 1%. So they figure Walz can speak to those same rural voters they need at, like as Shapiro can. So yeah, there's not any evidence that shows it helps. I mean, you could argue that in 1992, when Bill Clinton took Al Gore, Tennessee was kind of a swing state, but Clinton probably would have won that anyway because he was from Arkansas, which was right next door. But yeah, you have to go back to Texas in 1960 when that was a swing state, which Kennedy barely won with the help of LBJ on the ticket. So there's no evidence it helps you. Tim Kaine didn't help Hillary Clinton win. He was from Virginia. I mean, you can go back through time. There's not a lot of cases where it helps. So I don't think it's going to have a huge impact other than, you know, J.D. Vance probably is hurting Trump a little bit in some ways, at least in public perception. Walz is, I think, likely to help her more than hurt her.
I know there's like some news coming out about an old DUI. I think that's like the most salacious thing I've heard about Walz so far.
Yeah, and that was out there from the beginning. That came out actually during the vetting before he was even the pick, that he had a DUI in the 90s and then he quit drinking because his wife said, you have too many responsibilities. You can't let people down. And this is when he was just a coach and teacher and he just quit drinking. He's a teetotaler. So, I mean, that shows an interesting response to something like that. He took it very seriously. I don't think that's terrible. I don't think there are any major skeletons in his closet. So no, I think it's going to be an interesting campaign. Obviously, I think a Walz-Vance debate is going to be highly entertaining. And now the Democrats have a lot of momentum. She's caught up in the polls. She's shattering fundraising records. She's ahead in some of the swing states now. They're going to go into the DNC and probably sustain this bounce. So a lot is going to depend on what happens in those debates in September and October, if they have them, and how she does on the stump. And when she has to speak extemporaneously, if she acquits herself well, she's in a very strong position. We have not had one like this ever, really. Ever. It's going to be fun to cover.
Thanks for listening to this special breaking news edition of the On Deadline podcast. This show is produced by Joe Heady, Christy Strouser, Zach Clark, and by me. I'm Lauren Barry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.